Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking, an Elevated Missions Prep Incorporated company. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest is a husband and wife team. They are the founders of Faithful Parent, a ministry that is dedicated to providing help to parents with free guides, blog posts, courses, and additional information about intentional Christian parenting. They have created their own intentional parenting plan that has transformed how they raise their children in all aspects, especially in their intentional teaching of God's word in the home. In addition to their website, Faithful Parent, they recently released a book called A Chance to Change. And together, they live in Nebraska with their family very happily. He is an orthopedic surgeon and she homeschools their four children. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Derek and Amy Weichel. Welcome, Derek and Amy.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jackie. Thanks for having us on. We're really excited for this.
Thank you.
Yes, so Christian parenting, big question. A lot of people are struggling with, how should I raise my children?
So we had four kids, age 5 and under. And so I was like in survival mode. I didn't, you know, I was excited if we just made it through the day. And, you know, when they say the days are long, the years are short, I was definitely feeling the days are long because with everything going on and all the responsibilities, it's just really hard to try to be intentional in those moments because you're just, you know, one kid's doing this over here and then you're trying to get all the education stuff figured out. And there's so many questions and so many things going on in a mom's mind or a parent's mind. And so it was just a lot of survival mode rather than intentional, this is why we're doing what we're doing.
And I think a lot of parents can understand that, especially when you have so many children and at that age, so young, and you're just, like you said, you're trying to survive the day. But your intention, and Derek and Amy, was to be intentional with your parenting. Of course, you had the parenting style of how you were raised. You look at the parenting style of your friends and maybe other family members, but that didn't seem to be quite what you wanted to do. So what changed for you? What made you say, okay, we need to be more intentional with what we are doing?
Yeah. So yeah, we looked at, you know, the world around us and we saw there were kind of two different groups of families. There were some families who, you know, would send their kids to church, send them to a Christian school, send them to Bible class, and then they would still grow up and leave the church. And there were other families who did a lot of the same things from the outside, still go to church, send them to school, send them to Bible class, but then their kids still continue to remain in the church long term. And so we kind of looked at those two different groups and said, hey, what's the difference here? And one of the differences, probably the main difference we saw, is that those parents whose children remained in the church long term seemed to be more intentional in how they would, in the faith life of their children and how they would teach their children God's word in the home. About that same time, we started doing, you know, trying to be more intentional for ourselves, looking at some statistics. And we saw that, you know, the statistics showed that 60 to 70% of kids do leave the church as they grow older, even if they do those good things, go to church, go to Sunday school, go to a Christian school. And so we said, well, we really want to, you know, make sure we keep our family on the correct trajectory. How can we do that? Right about that same time, our coach, who we meet with regularly, we were talking to him about parenting. And he asked, we were like, well, what are some ideas or options we'd have? And he said, well, what's your plan? And that's when we realized, wow, we really haven't been we don't have a specific plan for how we're going to raise these children that God has blessed us with, especially a plan from a spiritual standpoint, which we felt was the most important. So you want to go into there where we kind of started researching?
Yeah, so we started researching and, you know, if you type in parenting plan, nothing comes up. So we're like, well, how do you come up with a parenting plan? Well, what does come up actually is, it's another name for a custody agreement for divorced couples. And we're like, well, that's not what we're looking for. So we just looked for how do we do a parenting plan? And there was nothing. So we said, okay, we're going to have to do the hard work of doing this ourselves then. And so we just kind of looked at different things, different elements of parenting that were important to us. And then we went and looked at all of our options and decided what we were going to do. And that's kind of how we went through the process of deciding what was the best path for our family, which, you know, it's not going to be necessarily your friends or what your parents did. It's what's best for you. Look at the gifts of your family, the husband, the wife, and and also the kids. You look at what's best for all of you as a unit. And
yeah, I love that. Because you're taking into consideration what everybody's needs are. And so no one is getting left out in the equation. And I think, Dara, you made a very good point. It seems like when people get married and there's an expectation soon after you're having children, but are people really thinking about how are we going to parent our children? I don't even think people really discuss that overall before they get married. And so you find that there are conflicts within marriages because people are not consciously thinking about how are we going to raise our children? What type of churches are we going to attend? And so basically what you did was say, we want to be intentional with our family. We want to make sure everybody's needs are met. And we want to make sure that our children know who they are, whose they are, and where they're supposed to be in life when it comes to their faith. So what did you do that was different from other people? How did you come up with your plan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what we found too. You know, even something as simple as discipline, you know, when we really looked at our lives, our kids were being disciplined different from one day to another, or, you know, the way I would discipline them was not consistent with the way Amy disciplined them. So yeah, we just weren't on the same page at all. So we basically, as we were going through the process of formulating our parenting plan, we came up with a framework that really worked well for us and that we thought other parents could benefit from too, who want to be more intentional, who obviously no parents are perfect, but who want to try to be doing all they can to keep their families focused on Jesus and for this and future generations. Because those were some of the benefits we saw for our family, is that it was overall, once we had that plan in place, I mean, overall, our family life was a lot more fun. We were focused. We were all on the same page. We were, and most importantly, we were connected as a family, but also a lot closer to God because we were being more intentional in that spiritual aspect of our lives. So that's kind of what led us to developing this framework that we had. And we can go into that if you want otherwise. But that's what we thought, hey, this is something that could really benefit other families as well.
Yeah. I think people would be interested in knowing what the framework is. How do you intentionally parent with the spiritual notion at the forefront?
So I'll just give a really brief overview of it. We can dig into other aspects if you want. But the first thing that we want parents to do, like Amy was mentioning, is every family is unique. So you need to see what's unique about our family. And so there's three aspects of that. First, what's our family strengths? What's our family weaknesses? And what's our family culture? Even just sitting down and evaluating those three things will give you a much better picture of where your current family life is. And once you have those three things established, then there's we call them 7 simple steps to more faithfully steward your family. And so there's an acronym, STEWARD, to help remember it. So STEWARD. The S stands for seek God. So first, what does the Bible tell us we should be doing as parents? That's the most important thing. And then the next one is T, which stands for target or trajectory. And that's really making sure your whole family's on the same page with where you want to go. Like I said, Amy and I were definitely not on the same page at various times in our parenting. The E is for explore your options. Again, you know, for us, we were doing things similar to our friends or our parents, but we didn't really take time to really look at all the different options there are for parenting out there. And then the W is for write it down. Once you've had a chance to explore your different parenting options, you should take time to write down, okay, what specifically do we want to be doing in our family? And then the next one is A for actions. We provide some steps that they can take to help put that plan into place. The R is for review or revise. You know, as you progress on your parenting journey, you'll change, your family will change, you'll learn new techniques or tips that you can use. So you should review your plan on a periodic basis and update it when you need to. And then finally, the D is for direct others. So we say when you're on a good path on your parenting journey, then you should try to help others who are maybe not as far along as you are. So that's kind of the very big picture of the framework that we came up with.
Yeah, it's a very well laid out plan so that you could be intentional. Let me ask you, what type of effect have you seen on your family since you've started this journey, especially with the children?
Yeah, like we're a lot more connected and close as a family. Other people notice that and they say, you know, there's something different about your family. What are you guys doing differently? And they just, you know, kind of expect us to be different now because we're on this more intentional path and we have more fun together too, because it's more fun when you are being intentional and you're more connected. And we also, but most importantly, we are, like Derek said, more like closer to God. We talk about him more often during the day, our whole day. And because we homeschool, it's a little bit easier for us. So I can, you know, throughout the day, when any question comes up, I can always point them to Jesus. And you know, whether it's a more law focused or gospel focused, but it ultimately, you know, Jesus saved you and you're a child of God. That's the most important thing. And so to be able to parent out of that and that the kids know that that's the most important thing, it really has, you know, helped connect our family, and we have more memories that we make together too. And it's just been such a blessing to be able to do this. And so when people ask us, why are you guys so different? It's kind of not just like one little thing. It's kind of like, besides like that we're more intentional, but through all these little steps that they've made bigger change, you know, even if you can just make a few small steps, that changes the trajectory so that in the future, you can even be more closer together or whatever, you know, closer to God, just by adding a devotion every day or something, you know, just a few little things. It doesn't have to be a grand, we followed all these steps and, you know, it's not a burden. It shouldn't be a burden.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And Derek, you were saying within your acronym that the D stands for direct others. So you are sharing this with others through your website and the lessons that people can come and learn more about it. Matter of fact, you have what you call an academy. Can you tell people about what they will actually find on your website?
Sure, yeah. Our website is faithfulparent.org. And so we've got a number of resources on there. We've got pretty much all of our material. If they really want to dive into our blog posts, we've got probably about 60 or 70 blog posts on there now, which really covers our entire program. And they can access that for free if they want to. The other option, like you mentioned, is this Faithful Parent Academy. That takes a lot of our material and just puts it into an organized structure. And there's some videos and some worksheets in there to help guide families through that process if they would like. The other thing that we've recently done, which you mentioned, is the book. We have a book, A Chance to Change. And that's another book that we wrote just to help parents who want to be more intentional on their parenting journey. It's written in a kind of non-judgmental, non-prescriptive, relatable style so that hopefully parents can relate with the characters in the book. And even if they don't implement all the various lessons that are laid out in the book, even if they can find one or two things to help improve their family life, I think that would be beneficial for them as well. And the book, they can find more information about that at our website, faithfulparent.org/book, or it's also available on Amazon.
Yeah, and it's written in a fiction story. So then you can kind of put yourself into the situation and it's more relatable. That's why we wrote it that way. And it covers the same things as our Faithful Parent Academy, but it's in a book form. So it's another way to be exposed to the lessons there.
Yeah, and I love the title, A Chance to Change, because it's saying that if you don't like what it is that you're doing in this moment, that you do have an opportunity to change. I think a lot of people find themselves stuck in cycles and they're like, well, this is what the way our parents did it. And they may want more or better, but they don't know how to get there. So how do you respond to people who are saying, I want to do more. I just don't know if we have time. I just don't know if we're going to be on the same page. How do you help people in that aspect?
I think that just goes back to what I kind of was saying before, is if you just take, if there's one small thing that you can do differently, if it's just you know, reading the Bible to your kids at supper time and combining it with another activity is usually helpful because then it's kind of built into your routine. So say you're able to, or if you're all at breakfast together, read some scripture, or you can listen to it on, you know, there's devices, you can just listen to it read to you. And just one little thing. And over time, that just makes such a huge difference. So just make small steps. Don't feel like you have to do it all at once. Just make a few small things and it really can make a big difference.
Yeah, I love the fact that you said you don't have to overwhelm yourself. One small step. And it reminds me of a story of a family. They had several children and the mother wanted to teach the children the Beatitudes. So each child, she assigned each child a Beatitude to learn. And each day they had to recite that Beatitude as they sat down to eat with the meal. So small changes are significant. And I mean, it's been proven, and I've seen how it works in other people's lives. And obviously you've seen how it works in your life. What are your friends and family saying about it? I mean, this is exciting to me because I really feel like it can change the trajectory of what's happening within the church.
Like my sister read the book and she's been talking with me for a while. She's like, this is great stuff. This really is helping me focus more on like adding Bible reading to my family, like dinner routine or whatever. And I know a lot of the people that have been reading it, it's been making small changes to their lives. And then seeing, I think it also helps to see that they see how we are more intentional and how we live by the family values that we've created that are important to us. And so they see that, and then it also kind of inspires them to want to change too. That's mainly.
And Derek, I wanted to ask you, what other big changes have you noticed, or even small changes have you noticed within your children as they are a part of this intentional Christian parenting?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just that we're so, one of our action items in our process or our framework is to create routines. So a lot of the things we do around our home is very routine. We do a lot of the same, you know, same things, the same time throughout the day in the same location. So the kids have kind of come to expect that. So part of our bedtime routine is to read a devotion and do a Christian hymn. And it's gotten to the point where if I'm not home to do that with the kids for some reason, then they'll do that on their own. So it's just one of those things that they've come to expect. And from a discipline standpoint, too, we've also seen some benefits there. We've gone through, we have a plan for discipline. The kids know what that plan is. And they know that we're going to implement that plan if needed. And so that's actually helped a lot too, because I think our kids appreciate not only knowing there's a boundary, but knowing that we'll enforce that boundary as well. So if they test the boundary or go beyond the boundary and they get that consequence for going beyond that boundary, a lot of times, you know, you'd think that they would be mad or frustrated, but it's actually the opposite. They're actually almost thankful to us for enforcing that boundary. So that's been another kind of cool thing that we've seen with being more intentional and consistent in our parenting.
Absolutely, because I think a lot of people have this misconceived notion about when you place boundaries with children, but really, when you do place boundaries with children, you're letting them know that you do love them, that you care about them, you care about their future and who they will eventually become. But when you let them loose and don't set those boundaries, it's like, do my parents really care about me? And I've heard people ask questions like that. They didn't even care that I came in late at night. What parent does that? Kids want to know that they are loved. And what you're doing and having those routines, showing up, being there for them, and even including the discipline part is showing that you do, in fact, love them and care about their future. I think this is really exciting. It's one other thing that I want to bring up with you all. One of the things I know that you love to do as a family is travel. So when you're traveling, how do you implement this intentional parenting with that?
Yeah, I think that actually makes traveling a lot easier because we are more intentional with it. You know, we talk about the kids, what we're going to do before there and how, because we homeschool too, like that's part of our homeschool education and talking about how we're going to act there and why we're going to act the way we are when we're traveling. What else did you want to add?
Yeah, exactly like she said, we kind of prep them ahead of time. We tell them, look, we're going to have a long travel day tomorrow. You're going to get tired. You're going to get hungry. You're going to get crabby, but here's, you know, how we want you to respond. Don't respond in this way, but just come and tell us, and we'll do what we can to help you. And the other part of that too is like I mentioned earlier, routines are such an important part of our life now. When we were traveling, we have, you know, specific, I guess, spiritual routines that will still continue even when we're traveling. We'll still try to be pretty consistent about a morning spiritual routine. We'll try to incorporate a lot of our Christian spiritual routines for our bedtime routine. So we try to keep as much of those daily routines as consistent as we can, even when we're traveling. And so that's helpful for us, but also helpful for the kids too, to have that familiarity even when we're traveling.
Yeah, it creates that stability.
Yeah.
That children need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love to, for you to tell the people some of the places that you travel to, because it's a lot of people say, well, how can I keep these routines in place? But you travel to several different places, and obviously you are still able to do that. Tell us some of the countries that you travel together as a family.
So we like to do these family international volunteer trips. We started when our youngest was two, so 6 years ago or so. And we go with an organization called Globe Aware, and we've gone every year for like 1 month or 1 week out of the year. The first place we went with her, with our family when our youngest was two, was Peru. And then we went to, see if I can remember them in order, Costa Rica, and we went to South Africa, and we did Guatemala, and then we also did Kenya. And then as a separate trip, we did go on like a more, we went to Israel for kind of more of an educational, that one wasn't a volunteer trip. But yeah, having those routines in place has helped. And also, I mean, we're living out one of our values is to be generous givers. So when we pay to go to these organizations, or on these trips, the money stays with the place that we're going. And then also we're giving of our time and our abilities. Usually on these trips, they have simple things for the kids to do, but like painting or, you know, talking with kids, helping them learn English if it's like a Spanish speaking country. And the kids have really enjoyed those experiences, and we're excited to see how God uses them in their life as they get older. And so I don't know if you want to add anything, but they've been incredible. And those are some of the experiences that really have bonded and cemented our relationships as a family. Our oldest son, you know, he still says a couple of all those volunteer trips are like his favorite memories, like his favorite trips. And, you know, we keep a picture book. Like I make, you know, on Walmart or Shutterfly, I make a book of all those trips, and they'll sit there with a stack of all the trips we've been on, and just all four of them will look through them and, oh, remember when we did this? And they like to remember that too. And it's just been a really incredible experience for our family.
Yeah, I love that you all don't just talk about it, but you actually be about it. And it's just wonderful to see that. And I'm so grateful that you are passing that on to other people. What's next for you, Derek and Amy?
Oh, yeah. So like we mentioned, we just finished our book recently. So that was a big project over the last year. And then the next thing that we're working on is we're working on creating a facilitated course that could be done, you know, in a mom's group or potentially with a Christian school or in a church. Just to help probably small groups of people go through this together, because we feel like it is better if you have a support network, community going through this with you, to help you keep you accountable and help you develop your own plan that's going to work specifically for your family. So we're hoping to have that kind of facilitated course out in the next probably 6 months or so that would be available if people are interested. If it is something that any of your listeners are interested in, they can email amy@faithfulparent.org and just let us know, and we could keep you on our wait list, and we'll let you know when it's available. Yeah,
I love it. I love it. And you have mentioned your website address. Can you mention that again? And also tell us about your social media.
Our website is faithfulparent.org. And then we are on Instagram as @faithfulparentmom. That's my account. And then we also have a Facebook page, just Faithful Parent. And we usually post once, at least once a day, you can follow along with our adventures and some of the different things that we teach in our course.
I love it. As we wrap up your interview today, what is the one thing that you both want to leave with the audience?
Yeah, I would say the most important thing that we try to help parents with, and I think this is the most important thing that we've done with our family and other parents can do too, is just trying to do what they can. I don't want to sort of say everything you can, because no parents are perfect, but doing all they can to keep their children focused on Jesus for this generation. And I think if you can successfully do that, it will not only be impactful for your current generation, but for future generations as well. And like I said, it shouldn't, like Amy said, it shouldn't be feel like an obligation. This is a blessing that God's given us, and He's equipped you as the parent of those children. You can do it. And it doesn't need to be a big change all at once, but just small changes over time will make a huge difference for your family and for future generations.
Pointing your kids to Jesus, and here's a process that you can help do that in your family.
I love it. CWS audience, you have heard their wonderful testimony, because truly that is what it is. They wanted to be intentional Christian parents, and they did the work to make sure that they can impact their children's lives so that they can have these long-term relationships with Jesus Christ. They didn't want them to be out in the world leaving the church like we see so many do. So if you're interested and your children having the same type of example, you need to connect with Derek and Amy. They have the website, they have the book, and more is coming. We want to make sure that we change this world and make it a better place. But it starts with each child, each family, the community, and the church as a whole. We have the power to make the difference. So let's go and do it. Thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.